Hello. Welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I'm Kate Spencer.
You sure are.
Very excited today.
I'm Dori Shafrir.
And we're not experts.
But we are two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
And this is a mini episode where we hear from you, we share your comments and thoughts, and answer your questions to the best of our ability.
And please remember, we are not experts, but we are podcast hosts, and we do always encourage you to seek support first and foremost from a doctor and or a mental health professional as needed.
But we do love to hear from you. And if you want to reach us, our voicemail number is 781-591-0390. And our email is forever35podcast@gmail.com.
Indeed.
Indeed it is.
It is indeed. So last week, we got to talking about things that we've stopped doing.
Because we don't have to do what we don't want to do.
Well, I mean, sometimes we do.
That's true. What am I talking about? We have to do a lot of things we don't
want
to do.
We have to do a lot of things we don't want to do. But I think the things that especially are things that we've internalized because of the patriarchy.
The big P.
The big P. Are things that we don't have to do if we don't want to.
Definitely not. And if we want to, it's also okay.
It's okay. So we loved hearing from you all about things that you have stopped doing.
Yeah.
I think things that you've stopped doing is like a nicer way to, as we have written in our notes, than saying like things you don't want to do.
Yes. What have you stopped?
What have you stopped?
We even got an email just last night that I saw that someone said I've stopped shaving my armpits, which is one I like to stop doing occasionally. What are some others that we got here, Dori?
Well, one person wrote to say, one thing I've stopped doing is my hair. I used to be self-conscious about leaving the house without curled or straightened hair until I realized I don't have to do that. I can spend that extra time sleeping in, working out longer, or doing whatever else is making me happy. Sounds small, but it was a big moment for me. You know, that actually like made me think of something, which is that 99% of the time, people aren't looking at you in the same way that like you think they are.
Or that you're looking
or
at
that
yourself.
You're looking at yourself.
Totally.
Yeah. So this, you know, very few people are Regina George.
Yeah, that's right. Most people are kind
and
empathetic.
Also kind and empathetic, but also focus on themselves.
Yeah, which is fine.
Which is totally fine. So, you know, I think that's just like something to remember.
I love this one. Someone wrote, saying just, I'm no longer, quote, just following up or just checking. I'm now following up or checking in about.
I love that.
Me too. I've stopped using a lot of exclamation points in emails or as many as I used to.
Well, and I think what's interesting is especially women, people kind of assume that if you don't use exclamation points that you're mad.
Right. There's a tone assumed.
Yeah.
And I try to just use periods and see how that feels.
Totally.
And it's scary for me because I'm always worried about people being mad at me. So I'm like, I've got to be so nice. But I've noticed you're very good in emails about not using exclamation points.
But I had to consciously stop.
And again, if you want to do it.
Yeah, sure.
Go, it sounds good
go
to me.
Ahead.
Go ahead.
But I will sometimes actually read my emails over and think like, have I used too many exclamation points?
Or have you put just as a qualifier?
Yeah, that's something that I hadn't really thought about, but I'm going to be mindful of it now.
Here's one someone wrote in. Change my clothes. I prefer to own less and think about other things. And I don't give a F if I'm wearing the same thing as yesterday. Judge if you will.
I feel the same way.
I'm wearing the exact same thing I wore yesterday.
It looks great.
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we've talked about this before on the show, too, of like not washing your clothes as much.
Right.
Like you don't. Unless they're dirty or stinky.
They're fine.
They're fine.
Save the water.
Yeah, exactly. Someone else wrote, something I've stopped doing is worry about novelty in general. It's been maybe 5 years since I've made many adjustments to my look. Same long and undone hair, same small gold jewelry every day. When I wear lipstick, it's red. My toes are always painted a shade of red, and my nails are always short and clear. There's no pattern in my closet and very little color. I feel good and look good. I don't care if it's, quote, boring.
This is cool.
Yeah.
I like this.
Yeah, same.
I'm I don't know if you've experienced this as you get older. I've found the other thing, which is I've stopped caring more about like if people think my outfits are weird.
Oh, yeah.
Or like, does this look funny? Or are people going to think I'm starting to worry less and less and just wearing what I want to wear.
Mm-hmm.
And that also feels good.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think all of this just points to like people feeling like their authentic selves.
Slowly but surely,
mm-hmm.
we get there, right?
Yeah.
I have to hope.
I hope so, too.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
We got an email.
Well, and I just want to also say, like,
yeah, story.
I would love to hear more of these.
Oh, me too.
I could hear these for days.
Me too. We could do a whole full episode of just like,
yeah.
And we'll call it Stop Right Now. Thank you very much.
Love it.
You know, that's a Spice Girl song, right, Dory? Stop right now. Thank you very much.
I had forgotten.
But
so thank you for reminding me.
Are you glad I'm here?
I was thinking of Stop the World, I Want to Get Off.
What's that?
It's a play.
Well, you and I have very different pop culture experiences.
I love the Spice Girls.
And I love plays.
Anyway.
Boy, we are like... Sometimes we're really on brand, I feel
we
like.
We are.
We really are.
It's true.
Yeah, we really are.
Well, you know, there's a reason we are ourselves.
Our authentic selves.
Yeah. There was a great thread in the Facebook group, actually, about this, you know, things that you stopped doing. So
It feels so good. But also, it's such a weird feeling when you're like, oh, I don't have to. Like, there's no law requiring me.
Yeah.
To wear, I don't even know what it is, like low cut socks with these sneakers.
Totally.
You know what I mean? That's such a weird specific one.
No,
but you know what I mean?
I know what you mean. I have slip on sneakers that I often wear socks with that I think like in the past I would have been like, this looks so dorky.
Same.
But I don't care.
No.
Because I'm more comfortable if I'm wearing socks.
Yes.
Maybe these are just all revelations you get in middle age.
Perhaps that's all it is. Like all people older than us are just like, welcome.
Yeah, exactly.
To this space where you stop caring.
Right. Like we've been here.
Yeah.
It's felt good.
Right.
Like you're the
dummies. Yeah. They're all walking around with their comfortable socks on.
Yeah. Meanwhile, we're like getting blisters and bunions.
Ugh. So please do share more of these.
Yeah,
we love hearing them. It's really, really interesting. And it also is inspiring of like more things I don't want to do.
Yes.
Yeah. Can I read this email about anger?
You may.
Yeah. Someone wrote in just about a previous mini episode conversation. They said, when I was 25, my dad passed away unexpectedly and I began having a lot of problems with stress and anxiety. I had always been a very calm, happy person. So this huge shift in my personality was very confusing and troubling for me. Soon I began to notice that I would feel surges of anger when I was particularly anxious, which was also very confusing as it was unlike me. A few years ago, I heard a quote which went something like this. Anger is the bodyguard of sadness. And I realized that my anger was the bodyguard of many of the negative emotions I felt. I remember telling my husband once, I can be angry or I can cry, and I'd rather be angry right now. I brought this up with my therapist, and she said that when we are anxious or sad, we often turn to anger because anger feels powerful and in control, which is the opposite of the loss of control we feel when anxiety or sadness begins to spiral. Obviously, everyone is different, and I think it is always a good idea to talk to your own therapist. But just realizing that anger is the way some people take control of difficult emotions has helped me immensely and has also made me a more compassionate person.
Wow.
What good insight.
Talk about reframing the narrative.
Anger is the bodyguard of sadness. That was profound for me when I read this. Just because I, especially around my own grief, it manifests
mm-hmm.
a lot as just anger and anger at other things like irritability
mm-hmm.
at my partner and stuff like that. And this was just such a great, thank you, listener. This was like just a bolt of lightning.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah. This is great.
Hopefully.
I love this idea that we often turn to anger because anger feels powerful.
Yes. I had never thought about it that way.
But, you know, I've actually been reflecting on this a bit more after last week when I said that I feel less that I get angry, more that I get frustrated. And
yes.
I realized that when I was going through IVF,
mm-hmm.
it was a big deal to allow myself to feel anger and to be okay with it.
And was it a conscious decision? Like, were you like, you could feel it was in yourself that that's what you were experiencing and you were like, I'm going to let myself have this?
Yes, because I tried to fight it for a while and that was not helpful for me.
And did you find that letting yourself experience it released it a bit, or was it empowering to feel it? Was it uncomfortable?
It was all of the above.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, because as we've discussed, like, we've been conditioned to try to suppress anger, to channel anger, to turn anger into something else.
Find the positive.
Right. And I was just like, there's nothing positive about any of this shit that I'm going through right now. And that's okay.
Yeah.
And I'm allowed to be mad about it.
Definitely.
And I'm allowed to feel like it's unfair. You know?
Yeah. I think you are. And that's, I think hopefully that resonates with somebody who's maybe feeling the same way in whatever situation they're in.
Yeah. And like, I think the other trap that I do think especially women fall into is this, I think it comes from a place of like wanting to keep things in perspective of being like, well, there's people worse off than I am. Like, I don't have a right to feel angry.
That, yes, I know that qualifier. I do that all the time.
Yeah. And yeah. I think that's good. It's good to kind of remind yourself that, you know, if you are a privileged person, that you have privilege and to be grateful for what you have. But I think you can also acknowledge if you're going through a really rough time, and that's okay. You don't have to, you know, compare it to what other people are going through.
Amen, Dori.
All right. Get off my soapbox.
Get on that soapbox, buckle in, and drive around on it. I think that's
okay.
I appreciate that so much because I've done that my whole life. And I've done it like, you know, I wrote a book about my mom died, but like it was great. I mean, it was great, but like, but you know, we had this and we had that,
right,
you know, and like,
right,
you're right.
Right.
There is a lot of qualifying that goes on. And I think there is a fine line between acknowledging the privilege one has.
Yes.
And the position you are in, and also allowing yourself to acknowledge that it is also shitty.
Yeah.
Amen.
All right.
I said that twice now. What's up with me today?
Well, should we listen to this voicemail?
Yeah, we've got another great narrative reframe. Our listeners are amazing at reframing these narratives.
Yes.
I mean, who knew that's what this podcast was going to really be about? All right, here is a voicemail.
Hey, Kate and Dori. First, our longtime listener, first-time caller. I just wanted to call because I listened to the episode, and y'all talk about stepping on the scale and having your kind of like personal, like how you feel about yourself that day tied to a number on the scale. I do not own a scale, but often when I go to the gym, I'll step on the scale as I'm leaving. And something that I've noticed is that as I work out more, I get stronger, and the number on the scale goes up because I'm not gaining weight, but I'm gaining muscle mass. So for me, gaining weight when I am at the gym and seeing that number on the scale is actually a point of pride for me because I feel like it indicates that I'm getting stronger as I work out. So anyway, I just wanted to mention that shifting the narrative perspective, if you will, and just kind of share my experience. So thanks so much. Bye.
Great reframe.
Yes. And also a great reminder that weight, our bodies, that weight can be a thing we are proud of, not only just a thing we feel shame about.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Me too.
Build that freaking muscle mass.
Totally. All right, let's take a short break.
Let's do it.
I like to care for my skin, duh. And it's also something that I do love to kind of like get into the research on.
You do have a curious mind.
Look, I have a curious mind. I can't help it.
You do.
But today's sponsor, OneSkin, has made that easy because they do their own fantastic research for their products. In fact, their products are scientifically validated to improve your skin's health while targeting the root cause of aging. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin, and they've got several studies to back it up. They also have an amazing new sunscreen.
Ooh, our favorite.
Our fave. It's the OS1 Shield Protect and Repair SPF 30 Plus. It's got the peptide. It's a mineral sunscreen. It's got antioxidants. It comes in tinted and untinted. I mean, like, what can't this thing do? I'm just saying. I love it. It's so easy to use, and I love that it's just like zoop, and it feels so nice going on. But don't take my word. Nice. Don't take my word for it. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews and was recently recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands of 2024. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code FOREVER at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code FOREVER. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support your show and tell them we sent you.
Y'all, I was in head to toe quince the other day, and I have never felt better. This is not an exaggeration. I loved my entire outfit, and it was literally everything was from Quince.
Wow. Kate. Did you deliberately go head to toe Quince, or just was like, oh, I want to wear this. I want to wear this. And then you were like, oh, I'm in head to toe Quince.
All right. Let me tell you what happened. Okay. So okay. I knew I wanted to put on, I have these pants from Quince that I'm obsessed with. They're called the French Terry Modal wide leg pant. They're so comfortable and they look really stylish. So they like feel like you're wearing a comfy sweat, but they're like a gorgeous flowy pant. And my child complimented them. It was wild.
Wow.
And okay. Then I was like, you know what? It's warm out, but it's also kind of chilly. What could I wear? And I have a zip-up cashmere hoodie from Quince. And I was like, well, I'll put this on. And then I was like, LOL, I'm in all Quince. I might as well just put on this Quince white t-shirt that I have, because I wanted a white t-shirt. Like, it just, so the t-shirt, I was like, you know, I was kind of like, tee-hee, only I know I'm in head to toe Quince. But I share this to share, like, one, how much I just love their pieces and how much use I get out of them, because I like to be comfortable, but I also want to look like slightly put together. And I just feel like either individually or on their own, all my items from Quince just work.
Okay. I love that for you.
They travel beautifully. I have a really beautiful linen dress from Quince that travels really well. They have washable silk tops, 14 karat jewelry. And the best part, you know, with Quince is that all items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner directly with top factories, which means Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman. And they pass those savings on to us. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Quince.
They also only work with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I really love that. I love my products from Quince. And you know what? Dare I say, I looked good. So whether you want to be cozy or get warm weather ready, do it with Quince. Go to quince.com/forever35 for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/forever35 to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/forever35.
So let's hear another email from a listener.
Shall I read this one, Dora?
Please.
One of my best friends passed away 4 years ago, and her oldest daughter is getting married at the end of June. Is there anything I can do for her that would be meaningful and positive? Kate, maybe you would have an inspiration for me. Congratulations to Dory, and thanks very much for your help. Dory, maybe you also would have an inspiration for this listener.
I might. But let's start with you.
So I thought long, I've thought long and hard about this.
Yeah.
So my mom died when I was 27 and I got married about a year and a half after. Mm-hmm. And many of her friends were at my wedding and were very kind to me. And I think my biggest advice for this listener is to not try to assume the role of this person's mother and to also not try to speak for the mother in the mother's absence. Like your mom would be so proud of you, or your mom, sure your mom would wish she was here. Look, I don't know you. I don't know your relationship with this woman. So I'm speaking very broadly, but I think what's most impactful is expressing your feelings of joy and admiration and wishes for this person and having them come from you. I think that's really meaningful. And I don't think you need to allude to their mom in any way, mm-hmm. unless you feel like that is something this person would appreciate. And I say this because not having that loved one there, whoever they may be, is very, I'm sure, very difficult. It was for me. And I was very sensitive anytime anyone tried to put words into my dead mom's mouth, so to speak. Like, I know your mom is watching, like all that stuff I personally did not find useful. But what I do find very loving and kind is expressions of joy.
Mm.
And I think you can do something very meaningful for this person or offer to support them in whatever way they might need, you know, but not necessarily doing it out of your own love for this, your friend's daughter, that in a way that is maybe separate from making it about her deceased mom. Does that make sense?
It makes so much sense.
And again, this advice may not be right for your situation. It's just kind of what, for me, I think I would want.
Yeah. I don't really have anything to add to that, because I think that is really good advice. I think this idea of like speaking for dead people is so presumptuous.
But we do it all the time. Like, I have found myself wanting to do it.
Yeah.
And even though it bugged me when people have done it to me, I think it's just culturally what we've been taught to say.
Right.
And I do think there is a, like, teaching ourselves better ways to speak about grief and also to care for people's, it's hard because that behavior's not modeled for us.
Yeah.
The time.
And maybe a better way to, or I don't know, maybe it would just be more useful for people to be like, I really miss your mom. I wish she could have been here.
I my mom's friends often still say that to me, and I like hearing that, mm-hmm. because it makes me feel like they haven't forgotten her.
Yeah.
And still care about her, but they aren't making it about me.
Totally.
Like, I really respect their grief and their relationships with my mom.
Right.
And yeah, I think that's, I like hearing that, Dory.
Thanks.
Yeah. Anyway, listener, I think you sound like a really thoughtful friend, no matter what. And I'm sure whatever gesture you decide to make will be appreciated and will come from a really kind place of caring and excitement for this person. Whew. Dory, we got some job rejection tips.
I can't wait to hear them.
From someone with kind of a cool job. Here, get ready.
Hi, my name is Beth. I'm 28. And I'm calling in response to the person who's facing rejection in their job. I'm an aspiring wildlife biologist, and I've been unemployed for 7 months recently. And during that time, I've been rejected by jobs I never heard back from, jobs I didn't even want, and jobs that I thought I nailed the interview for. So I have a couple of tips about when you get rejected. One is very important. Do not give up. Do not give up. Keep applying to any job and every job that you see, even if you think you're underqualified. The second one is talk to someone. Being unemployed and facing rejection can be really embarrassing and depressing. So talk to someone. It doesn't have to be your partner. It could be a friend that's keeping you accountable or a therapist. And who knows, maybe you talk to someone and they didn't know you were unemployed and you might get a job that way. The next tip is to plan something fun after you get rejected. So recently I've been getting rejected, crying a bunch about it. And then my boyfriend has been taking me out to lunch, and that makes me feel so much better. So my other tip is don't take it personally. The very first job that I got after graduating college, I did get the job, but I found out from some coworkers that someone who didn't get the job had a reference letter from Jane Goodall. Yeah, that Jane Goodall. So whenever I don't get a job now, I always think, well, maybe someone had a reference letter from Jane Goodall. So it may not be you. Don't take it personally. You never know who your competition is. One of my last tips is, if you're sad, let yourself be sad. Mourn the job. Mourn the future you plan for that job. Mourn all the clothes you're going to wear in that job. Mourn the vacation you were going to take with that money. And my last thing is that your job is not your identity, and your job is not your worth. That's something I'm still working on right now, because I identify a lot with being a wildlife person. But just remember, you have hobbies, you have friends, you have interests, you have activities, all other things that you do that make you who you are. Your job is not everything. I hope this is helpful. I love the podcast. And remember, do not give up.
Are you also a motivational speaker? What a great, what's just like a wealth of tips and compassionate advice and a Jane Goodall story.
I mean, this voicemail really had everything.
It had everything. I loved everything this listener had to say.
I love this idea of like mourning a job that you didn't get and allowing yourself to feel that.
Yes. And also all the specifics they listed, like the clothes you were going to wear, the vacation you're going to take with the money you were going to make. Like those are all things we let ourselves fantasize about and think about. And mourning those things is really important.
Yeah.
And also a wildlife biologist, that's so rad.
Totally. Well, and I think especially with jobs and with dating, I know I would often get in the mindset of like, it wasn't the right fit anyway, and not allow myself to have those moments of grieving.
Yeah. Like maybe it was the right fit.
Maybe it was the right fit. And like, for whatever reason, maybe my competition had a reference from Jane Goodall, even though it was a position to be an editor at a digital news site.
Or you were dating and the other person chose had a reference dating reference from Jane Goodall.
You know, or saying, you know, there are other fish in the sea. There are other, something else will come along. Like, yes, that's probably true, but I can also be sad about this thing.
You know what I'm kind of taking away from this whole mini episode is allowing ourselves the space to exist with the most uncomfortable emotions.
Yes.
Grief, mourning, anger, and not qualifying them.
Mm-hmm.
Not trying to put them into perspective, just letting ourselves fully feel them.
Yeah.
In whatever way that looks like and as uncomfortable as that can be.
And that's hard.
So hard. Sometimes it's so easier just to stuff them down.
Yep. I love this last voicemail we got.
There's a lot to unpack here. I don't know if I have an answer, but I'm eager to open this one up to the
same
experienced audience listeners. Audience listeners, Kate, just play the
But voicemail. I love that she came to us with this question.
I'm
anyway.
Truly honored. Here we go.
Here we go.
Hi, Kate. Hi, Dory. This is Leah from New York. I just wanted to say I love your show so much, and I'm glad I found it. I can really relate to the idea of self-care. And now that, you know, my life is a little more settled and I have a little more time to think about myself, your show has been great at giving me some ideas and lots to think about. But I'm actually calling for advice about my daughter, who's 11. She's been caring more about her appearance recently, which is totally normal and fine, but I'm struggling with how to frame some of our conversations about makeup and her body and generally her appearance. It's particularly difficult for me because she's naturally very slender and pretty and gets lots of comments from her friends and even relatives and adults about how pretty she is and how lucky she is to be so thin. I mean, I think she's so beautiful and perfect just the way she is, but it's kind of crazy how many comments she gets about her appearance, but maybe that's a whole nother show. I guess I try never to say anything about me being on a diet or losing weight or negative things about myself. I'm conscious about that, but I do try to hit the gym often, and I've told her that it makes me feel strong. And I've also said things like, I feel more confident when I have some makeup on. And she sees me all the time doing things like sheet masks and buying skincare products. Do you have any suggestions on how to convey that she doesn't need all this extra stuff, even though I feel like I'm maybe not modeling that behavior? I'm not sure if I'm sending her the wrong message. And any suggestions on how to balance my desire to feel my best with the message that she's beautiful inside and out and doesn't necessarily need all that extra stuff like makeup or worrying about her body or anything else? So I don't know, just been thinking a lot about this. So your thoughts are always appreciated. And thanks for listening. Okay, bye.
So you know what I thought when I listened to this voicemail for the first time? Is like, we do live in a looks-obsessed culture.
100%. I'm obsessed with my looks.
I know. And this, like, what this listener is struggling with is so hard because I hear that she doesn't want to seem disingenuous by implying that it doesn't matter. You know what I mean?
Like, yes.
You can't tell your beautiful daughter looks don't matter when, like, literal strangers are coming up to her being like, you're so pretty.
Fuck, I hate that that happens.
Yeah, it's really hard because, like, in our culture, looks do matter.
One of my daughters is stopped on the street by strangers because of her eyelashes. I mean, literally, she gets commented on now when people talk to her about it. She's like, I know. It's truly bizarre. People comment on them all the time. And she has very long, very thick eyelashes. And not only is she now aware of it, but my other child is aware that the other kid gets stopped, truly stopped by strangers about her eyelashes, and that there is some weird importance placed, and that comments are like, you won't have to do that, dot, dot, dot.
Right.
Or like, I love to just take those eyelashes off your head, like just this constant. Right. And they're like, what is happening?
Yeah.
Like, they don't understand the quote unquote importance of eyelashes. And it's very uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest, I don't know how to handle it. I'm as stumped as this caller personally about how to, and also how to balance the fact that we do things like wear makeup
mm-hmm.
and put on oil on our face and participate in these things, but also don't want our daughters and sons to feel, or whoever to feel that pressure. I don't know.
I mean, one thing that did come to mind is making sure that your daughter also feels confident and great about other aspects of her life that are not based on looks. That's not just telling her, like, you're beautiful inside and out, but also like, wow, look at that painting you painted, or, you know, encouraging her to join the swim team, or, you know,
or like, I appreciate you because you're kind
yes,
and you do
exactly.
this, or I appreciate that you're brave or you're whatever,
right,
assertive.
Right. So I think there's ways of modeling that behavior that aren't just telling her, you know, inner beauty is everything and as important as outer beauty. And also, you know, maybe for you, also modeling behaviors that are not based in looks at all could be helpful.
Yeah. And talking about, you know, like, my daughters will ask me things like, why do you shave your legs? And I will try to explain in kind of like children's layman's terms, like weird beauty standards and where mm-hmm. they come from and why they are unfair and why I still participate. And you can choose to do this or you can choose not to do this, and you can change your mind. And some people do shave their legs and other people don't. And it doesn't, you know, say anything about who you are. It can get a little long winded and you feel like, what am I even doing? But I do think ultimately, if you just keep trying and communicating, and also, you know, explaining to, you know, we're never going to model quote unquote perfect behavior
totally.
For our kids, because we're all existing in a flawed society as flawed people.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a good thing, I think, to talk to a therapist, a person who a therapist about your own stuff, and then also how to engage with your child about this stuff.
Yeah, I think that's really good advice.
And listeners, weigh in.
Yeah, we'd love to hear what you have to say.
Please tell us.
Well, that brings us to the end.
Well, Dory,
should we go say hi to Henry?
Oh my God, yes, can we?
Yeah, let's go do that.
Okay,
okay, bye.